It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, with my co-host Dan Berger, and it's always great to have the original Sonoma County wine guy, and I know that because I named him that in 1992. Tom Simino is
Jackson.
With us. Yeah, bud. And this is exciting. Tom is presenting Mondavi today, and our guest is the winemaker for Robert Mondavi Winery, Megan Schofield. Megan, welcome.
Thank you very much.
This is exciting. Big Mondavi fan.
We have the iBlock Fumé Blanc to taste. The 2014 iBlock. And if that doesn't bring shivers up the spine, I mean, the hair on the back of my neck is all over the place.
For you, Dan,
When I told Dan we had the iBlock coming, Dan, what did you say?
I think it's one of the greatest white wines being made in America today, and maybe one of the greatest wines, period, being made in America today.
Wow.
This is a fabulous vineyard, and you can't do it without this vineyard. I mean, you could replicate it. It won't be the same. iBlock is iBlock.
What is it, $10,000 a bottle?
Actually, it should be, probably.
It's really, really.
Sounds
it's
like
fabulous.
It's like
wine.
$95 a bottle?
It's about $90 a bottle, yeah. Wow.
Probably the most expensive Fumé Blanc in America.
I mean,
and it's probably the most expensive in the world when you think about it, because Patrick La Doucette sells one, and his new release price is $85.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
And he's
he's from France, so.
Yeah. I could tell by the name that he wasn't Italian anyway.
Right. Thank you so much, Dave. Your insight is amazing.
Isn't it? Doesn't it blow you away every week? How dumb I am. excuse me. Okay. Tom, let me turn it over to you to begin. We got to take a break in a few minutes, and then we'll be back. But Mondavi.
Well, first of all, Robert Mondavi started the winery in like 1965 after he had this falling out. Do Italian families do this, periodically? Anyway.
There's only one that didn't.
Have you ever been to Thanksgiving at my house?
Well, I was just kind of baiting you there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he started this winery in 1965.
66.
66?
Right.
66. There we go. We got the historian over here.
We're close.
And he actually brought Napa Valley into the forefront. He was the master marketer. And he was always... In my mind, he was always part of this just feeling that I always had for the person that I wanted to become. I wanted to become Robert Mondavi and learn how to sell and market like him. So over the years, we've been there lots of different times, Brenda and I. I've got their wines in our cellar. Always been a big fan. And I got a chance, when I was teaching at the junior college, I got a chance to bring my class to Mondavi. And we actually toured the Tokalon iBlock and got to taste it. And when I walked away, they gave me a bottle, and I still have it in my cellar.
What is the Tokalon iBlock?
Well, Tokalon is a vineyard, and iBlock is the particular parcel of within that vineyard that produces this rather astounding Sauvignon Blanc. And it's very difficult to identify this, because when it's young, it does not show all of its proclivities. It really needs a lot of time in the bottle. It's very similar to some of the greatest wines of the Eastern Loire Valley in France. And this bottle, we've had them 15, 16, 20 years old, and they're just fabulous. And the difference is that most people just don't put them away long enough. If you hold on to it for 3 years, it's benefited, but it isn't going to show you anything until it gets to be 7, 8, 10 years.
That's probably how old the one I have is, because I haven't been at the junior college in about that long. So I know right where it is because I visit it in my cellar. You know how you have special wines where you stop and visit? Oh, boy, look at that eye block. And when Megan said she was...
I open my trunk sometimes.
Yeah, you do the same exact thing.
Look at that.
That's been in there for 2 weeks. I'm laying it down.
When I was talking with Megan about today's show, I said, hey, you know, it would really be cool if we could get the eye block. You know, and she goes, you know, I got the email from the marketing people, and I was thinking the same thing. That might be a nice thing to do, and I'm going like... Oh, my God, I'm shooting for the moon, and I'm going to get it. So we're going to taste this in just a few minutes.
It's very special.
Unbelievable.
And it's winery only. Don't get excited. If you if you want some, you have to go to the winery to get it.
Drive over the hill.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. It's a beautiful winery to tour.
It's a wonderful property, but it's
it really is.
This particular wine is really worth the trip over.
Yeah. Let me tell. Do I have a couple of seconds?
No.
Okay.
But
I'll tell the story on the next hour.
We'll pick that up after the break. Megan Schofield is here, the winemaker for Robert Mondavi Winery, Dan Berger and Tom Simino. I want to, when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little more about Robert Mondavi. His life and what he has done for California wine country is so spectacular. And so I want to get more into that, and we will. Tom Simino is in with Megan Schofield. She is the winemaker for Robert Mondavi Winery in Napa County. I can't wait to hear the story because I just love the stories. And how long have you been the winemaker at Mondavi?
I have been at Robert Mondavi for about 2.5 years.
Wow.
And I am one of 3 winemakers there.
Right.
So I handle the Burgundian varietals and this year the Sauvignon Blanc. We have a Bordeaux red winemaker. And then our boss is our director, Jean-Biev Jansen.
Oh, Jean-Biev, yes.
Yeah. And she's been there for... since the mid-90s.
Yeah, Dan mentioned her.
Yeah.
Or Tom mentioned her. Yeah, you mentioned
Jean-Viev.
Yeah.
In fact, it was Jean-Viev that kind of spawned this show today when I was over at the Oakville tasting. And she and I have talked over the couple of years and said, we got to get you over on our side of the hill, back and forth, back and forth. And this time, you know, we pursued it and we emailed back and forth and got the PR people involved. And here we are today.
Well,
and you live in Santa Rosa, so that's one of the reasons that they decided to have...
Absolutely. I live about 5 minutes away from the station here. So
I live a mile and a half.
Yeah.
Megan, what's your history pre-Mondavi?
So pre-Mondavi...
I'm going to say UC Davis.
No. You could guess again.
Listen, you'll never guess. You'll never guess.
It wasn't Fresno?
No.
A little north.
A little north, yeah. I was born and raised in Canada. And
what part?
In Niagara region.
Really?
I was born in Toronto, but grew up in the Niagara region.
I love Toronto. Yeah. I grew up in Detroit, and we used to go to Toronto all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, so I grew up in Niagara and saw the wine industry there. Of course, Inniskillen was happening and producing the ice wine and kind of became aware of what was happening in the Canadian wine industry and saw that as a career path when the college I was going to, which is Brock University... I don't know if anybody's heard of that.
A wonderful school with a great sensory program.
Absolutely, yeah. So that had opened to train Canadian winemakers.
Of course, Dan knows everything. You know, his email is wine nut. And until you really know Dan, he is a wine nut.
He is the wine nut.
Yes, he is.
Go ahead.
I'm the wine guy.
I'm really impressed. That's good that he knows that. So, yeah, I graduated from Brock in the first class in winemaking and viticulture. And ended up coming to California to work what I thought would be one harvest, where I would continue around the world, you know, exploring wine regions and winemaking. And I just fell in love with California. And that was in 2001. And I've been here in the wine business ever since.
So where and when did you become a winemaker?
Officially, I mean, I held the titles of wine chemist, enologist, assistant winemaker. I was promoted to winemaker from assistant winemaker at Simi Winery.
Really?
Up in Healdsburg. Yeah.
Wow.
And I was there for 7 years and then moved over to Robert Mondavi as winemaker.
The Mondavi gig is huge, right?
It's, I mean, you know, I feel so lucky to have landed there, and I didn't realize how huge it was until I actually got there. And it's like winning the lottery, the winemaking lottery, because it's incredible.
I can only imagine. Before I want to hear from both Tom and Dan about Mondavi, but I want to talk a little more about him. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and it says, Mondavi was a leading California vineyard operator, obviously, whose technical improvements and marketing strategies brought worldwide recognition for the wines of Napa Valley. From an early period, Mondavi aggressively promoted labeling wines varietally rather than generically. And that's a huge deal. Dan, your thoughts on Robert Mondavi, who, by the way, folks, passed away in 2008. He was 94. Which proves if you drink enough wine, you're going to live for a long time.
I did a story on the age that the winemakers live to, and it's pretty impressive. Bob was really one of my favorite people, very dedicated to the overall quality of all California wine, but especially Napa Valley wines. There is some bit of jealousy that does still exist because Bob got so much recognition and notoriety for all of the things he said and did. But the one thing that he did was to encourage quality above all else. And that was one of his greatest bywords. The feud that he had with his brother goes way back to 64, 65. And Peter Mondavi, as they called it at the time, because they even disagreed on the pronunciation of the family name. And they separated as part of the lore in the Napa Valley was that Bob wanted to go more for quality and Peter was much more conservative and didn't want to go in that direction.
This had to do with Krug, right?
Charles Krug was the winery that they were both reared in. Bob actually, his father, Cesare Mondavi, had actually opened in Kingsburg, California, which goes back a few years back. Before Prohibition. But what's really interesting about Bob was that he emphasized the greatness of all these different varieties. He was not a big fan of Zinfandel, and yet they did produce Zinfandel. He was a huge fan of Sauvignon Blanc, and he changed the name from Sauvignon Blanc to Fumé Blanc.
Exactly, which is what I mentioned, I kind of alluded to before the break. And then I ask often, you know, because this is labeled Fumé Blanc.
And that's the name that they've used on the label ever since.
Right.
But also, he was also into comparisons of California wine to European wines and saying his favorite line was, we belong on the table with the very best. And he didn't necessarily say, we make the best wine. What he said was, we belong in the company of the best. And that was one of the reasons that Mondavi became so famous. And the greatest story I ever heard, Michael Mondavi told me this story, his son. He said that they worked the market for many, many years. From 1966 to 1970, they were on the road 300 and so days a year, working the marketplace, working. And after about four full years of marketing their brand image, so he was introduced at a winemaker dinner in London. And the man said, this man has been on the road every day for the last 4 years marketing his wines. And it's really wonderful to have Michael Mantovani with us.
And now he's going to play some music. Mantovani. Tom, your thoughts on all this?
Well, you know, again, that's this whole Fumé Blanc, Sauvignon Blanc thing. You know, there's so many stories about Puy Fumé, and there's a train station outside of one of the cities where the Sauvignon Blanc grows. Whether it be Bordeaux or I don't know exactly where the city goes, but the lore said that the trains used to drive or ride up past the vineyards, and they were all, you know, with the coal smoke, and it would cover the vineyards with dust and fumé. You know,
the name of that wine, incidentally, that comes from the Loire Valley, mm-hmm. and the name of that wine to this day in that region is Blanc Fumé.
Isn't fumé French for smoke?
Smoke.
It is.
Yeah. And it was the trains that were going back and forth, and that was one of the stories that they said, well, that's why Mondavi called it Fumé Blanc, because of this this train going back and forth in somewhere around the Loire Valley then.
But it is exactly the same as Sauvignon Blanc.
Precisely
it's
the same grape
variety. It's 100% Sauvignon Blanc. Yeah.
Wow. David Stair at Dry Creek Vineyards adopted the name in 1972 for Dry Creek Vineyards, and he's still using that winery. Is still making a fabulous Sauvignon Blanc, but they're calling it Fumé Blanc.
Really? What about France? Do they call it Fumé?
No, they stick to their regional name. So it's Puy Fumé and Sancerre, the two wines Eastern Loire Valley.
Right. All right. Now, this Fumé Blanc from Mondavi.
This is the I Block.
2014. Okay, explain the I Block. I don't get any of this.
So it's part of the Tokalon Vineyard, and
explain the Tokalon Vineyard.
Tokalon is a very special piece of soil that Robert Mondavi discovered to produce some of the finest wines that he was making. So he called it Tokalon, which is a historic designation. I think it's an Indian designation.
And it's Greek. Greek. The translation is roughly highest beauty.
But it's in Napa.
Yeah, it's right behind the winery, actually.
Yeah. And it was actually, I mean, the name came from the 1800s when the man who originally purchased the land called it Tokalon. And then Robert Mondavi, of course, resurrected that.
And it kind of runs from Oakville Crossing kind of all the way up to the winery. And that soil type actually goes all the way up to Spotswood when you really think about that.
Well, it's in the foothills. It's right there on the sloping foothills.
So
And it goes all the way to Highway 29.
Yeah.
And it actually goes south of the crossroads.
Does it go south of it? Yeah.
Yep.
And it's also a little teeny bit cooler than some of the other vineyards because it's so close to the hill that the sun actually begins to set on the vineyards a half an hour to an hour earlier. And so it actually gets less total sunlight.
Uh-huh. And, you know, here's the thing. When we brought my class out there 10, 15 years ago, whenever it was, and we're taking the tour, right, and we're all talking about this beautiful old vineyard, and literally they're like they're from 1945, so they're like three arms, mm-hmm. right? And they're all, it's so fragile and all, and we're like listening to the gentleman give us, you know, the whole shtick about Tokalon, and I kind of like leaned up against one of the arms, and it goes a little bit, you know, because they're really sparse.
You broke it?
And no, Brenda looks at me like, you break that arm, I'll break yours. And it was like,
well, iBlock is actually one of the, shall we call it, alphabet designated areas of the vineyard. There's various other, mm-hmm. you know, B block, C block, and so forth. And I block is a small portion of that vineyard that just happens to have this unique characteristic for Sauvignon Blanc.
Wow.
And so this is the wine.
And it's only, I mean, it's about 5 acres. And we're lucky if we get a ton and a half per acre. It's very low yielding, and it's dry farmed. We don't irrigate it, so it's dry farmed.
Yeah, this says fewer than 400 cases
yeah.
were produced.
Yeah, this we're drinking the 14. We made about 245 cases, and that's
wow.
It usually hovers around 200 cases.
I mean, if you look at the vineyard, if you see the vineyard when it's not growing, you know, if it's off season, it looks like something that's going to be pulled. You know, I mean,
yeah, it looks
somebody's
like
going to bulldoze
dead vine,
it because there's
yeah.
no, there's nothing there.
But the secret to this wine is not what we're drinking today. The secret to this wine is to buy a bottle or two and put it in the cellar for 6 to 10 years.
Of course.
And just wait.
Dan, lay it down, Burger. Now, okay, so let's talk about this. 2014 Mondavi Sauvignon Blanc that is called Fumé Blanc, which is white smoke, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's okay. It's unbelievable. Dan, why do I love this so much?
Well, first of all, you really are a Chardonnay lover, and you have every right to be, of course, because Chardonnay is a great grape variety and needs to have a little bit of additional attention in the cellar. Well, this wine got treated a little bit like Chardonnay is treated. Mm. So it went into the barrel, had a little bit of lees contact, but the best part about this is it started out with this absolutely sensational fruit. So you have this base that is still a baby. It's such. It's basically an infant. What's the vintage on this?
14.
But it's 3 years, and it hasn't showed anything in 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to lay this down in my trunk for 10 years.
Over my dead body. Or Dan's.
Yeah. Am I getting some nuttiness?
Yes, you absolutely
yes,
are. It's
yeah.
a little teeny bit of hazelnut character.
Yes.
We do treat
Damn, I'm getting good. Thanks,
it is,
Dan.
It is definitely a stylistic thing we do with this, which is, as Dan was saying, put it into barrel. Lees contact, we do some lees stirring barrel fermentation, and there is some new oak in it. I mean, we keep it low because we really want this fruit to come out. But it gives it a little more body than some Sauvignon Blancs that you may be used to.
God, this is lovely.
Delicious wine, but it, like I said, a few extra years will really reward somebody who has a little bit of patience. Because this is the kind of wine that it doesn't show so well right at the very beginning. If anybody walked in and tried this at the winery, they'd say, what's the excitement? Well, then show them a 10-year-old bottle, and they'll get the excitement right away.
But I got the excitement.
Well, I do.
Yeah, I'm certainly excited.
Is this the $90 bottle?
This is $90 retail, yeah.
Wow.
And you have to come to the winery. You have to come to Oakville.
Yeah. Which
tell them we sent you the drive. You took the drive because of the drive.
Yeah, and they'll give it to you for free.
There may be no more expensive Sauvignon Blanc in the world than this.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, it is, I would say, probably the best Sauvignon Blanc I've ever tasted.
These vines, which were planted in 45, we believe are the oldest, if not one of the oldest I said that backwards, but one of the oldest vines in North America, Sauvignon Blanc. So we're protecting it. It's definitely part of our heritage. And you can see the wine.
I've never had a finish on any Sauvignon Blanc like this.
That's the secret to this wine. It's seamless.
It's staying with me.
Yeah. Totally seamless.
Goes on and
fabulous.
On and on.
Yeah.
Now, what's the rootstock on that? Does anybody even know? Is it St. George?
It has to be original because there's no possibility that they had rootstock in those days. They didn't have riparian back
then. So it's own-rooted?
I would imagine.
Everything else in Napa got phylloxera, so own-rooted would have
been. I believe it's a rootstock. And actually,
it has to be.
But I couldn't tell you which one without
my... But 45.
maybe it was one of the old impervious rootstocks.
I think it's clone one.
Another great name for a band, the Impervious Rootstocks.
Well, I liked White Smoke.
White Smoke is good.
White Smoke sounds like something that one of these cannabis guys is going to come up with. You better trademark that there, Jackson.
Oh, we have so many band names. My favorite today came, it's Bedbug Addendum. Good evening, everybody. We're... Bedbug Amendum is actually part of my lease, and they sent an e-thing that I had to sign, e-wise, whatever the hell you call that. And it was some bedbug amendum. I don't know. I don't have bedbugs. Well, we do in the studio, but not at home. Well, that went over like a fart in church.
We're waiting.
Yeah. It's 5:23 on Wine Wednesday, California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. My co-host Dan Berger, Tom Simino, the original Sonoma County wine guy, is here, and the winemaker, or one of the winemakers for Robert Mondavi Winery, Megan Schofield, is here. Now, this Chard, I know Dan wants us to...
Which we're drinking.
All right. I'm going to move on to the Chardonnay. Okay. I'm going Chardonnay. We've got plenty of that stuff.
Oh, man.
Okay, Jackson.
I'm going to let you guys fight over this Sauvignon Blanc, the Fumé.
All right, we got that over
here. What do you want to know about the Chardonnay?
So, Jackson, I told Megan, first of all, the eye block, and then I said, you know, Jackson is Mr. Chardonnay, and she goes, oh, great, I've got one. I've got one for him. So here it is. And this is the Reserve Mondavi 14 Caneros.
Mm-hmm. This is actually... Oh, you like it?
I could smell this all night.
Our Reserve Chardonnay, and this again, I mean, similar to the Tokalon, this is all about the vineyard. Majority of this wine comes from a little vineyard you may have heard of.
I'm in love!
The Hyde Vineyard in Carneros. Mm-hmm. So we have been sourcing fruit from that vineyard for many, many, many years, from Larry and his sons, and so... this is primarily from the Hyde Vineyard, which is just, I mean, the most aromatic, beautiful Chardonnay that you can get out of Carneros, I feel.
The clone is
Old Wente, or some of our blocks that we source is Old Wente. Exactly. The Hens and Chicks, which just makes this really intense wine. And I was just walking. I'm going to walk it tomorrow, but I was in it last week. And it's so beautiful. These little tiny berries big berries on one cluster. It's so good.
It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, where Wine Country buys their wine and spirits and beers and craft beers and everything else. Tom Simino is with us once a month. He's back in presenting Mondavi. My co-host Dan Berger, obviously with us as well. And one of the winemakers for Robert Mondavi Winery is Megan Schofield, and she's with us.
She's become one of our favorite new winemakers. During the break, we've kind of had a kumbaya kind of thing going.
Mike,
well, the wines are good. But
find a version of kumbaya just in case we need it. Okay, we haven't talked about this Chard, and I am Mr. Chard Man. This is unbelievable. What year is this, Megan?
14.
14.
It's a little bit of time in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
That's very nice about a reserve style. Dan,
but Dan's going to lay it down for 100 years.
Well, now, you know, I don't age Chardonnay for all that long because you have to look at various factors. But I think in this case, the wine really is fabulous when it's served not terribly cold.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's just the right temperature.
Yeah, it's perfect.
And you can imagine what this would do with the right kind of seafood. One of my favorite seafood restaurants in Santa Rosa, the Santa Rosa Seafood. They do fabulous halibut when they have it fresh. And boy, this would go great with
halibut.
That's
a great place. And unfortunately, the owner passed away not too long ago, a month ago or so.
Yeah.
But that is a great place. So let me get both of your thoughts on this shard in depth.
Creamy. It has it's good acidity. It's got a little bit of lemon, but just little hints of lemon, and the complexity as the finish comes on, it has the mouth watering in the back of your palate.
Yeah,
it kind of gets your lips smacking good. You know what I mean? It's got just the right amount of oak. It's got a little toastiness.
And to me, that oak character is evolutionary in terms of where it came from. Back 20 years ago, Mondavi used a lot more oak in their wines. This was an outgrowth of some things that had to do with Bob Mondavi's passing. And this is a far better example. There's more restraint, more structure. And I think I just learned from Megan that this has a 3.1 pH, which is really a geek alert, sorry.
Yeah.
But this is a really important aspect to how this wine is structured because there's good acidity here.
Is that a high pH or a low pH?
It's a low pH for Chardonnay, and it really is nicely structured.
So what's the alcohol? It's got to be low.
13.5.
13.5.
So there's
you go.
The secret right
that
there.
That is it right
and
there.
And I think a lot of this, like as you were saying, we've sourced from this particular vineyard for decades, and we've had the same winemaker, Rich Arnold, doing this. And it's been an evolution of figuring out what barrels are correct, how to treat this fruit. So we use a particular barrel that's water bent. It's pretty much, you know, there's just a couple coopers in this wine. And so it's kind of like, you know, it's evolved, and we feel like it's come to a place where we want to kind of maintain this style. And of course, we're always exploring, but... this is kind of the core of what we want.
Chardonnay is kind of like the tofu of grape varieties.
Yeah.
Whatever you do to it takes that on. And
really?
your whole idea of you've found two coopers you like, you know, you're always experimenting. I mean, that's the wonderful thing. Art and science in winemaking and then sensory experience in the mouth, in the nose. All of that just comes together, and then when you're around as long as you guys have been, and how long has this gentleman been making the Chardonnay?
I mean, he worked harvest of 1975.
In
various positions, but Chardonnay is his passion for
decades. Mean, you learn, man. I mean, look at Jackson. How long have you been in radio?
45 years.
See, I think you've just about
November.
Figured it out.
No, I haven't. I'm still totally clueless. Pour me another taste of that shard, because that is really amazing.
I thought you were reaching for the Cabernet Reserve, and I was going to fight you for that.
What, Barry Herbst couldn't be here, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, because he's taking his daughter to college in Southern California, but... which wines, how many wines are... can people purchase from Mondavi retail without going over the hill?
I'm sure they have that.
That's a really good question.
I know it's not your specialty there as a winemaker.
10
but.
At least, I would say, nationally distributed. This one, I mean, this is nationally distributed, but we only make about 1,600-ish cases.
And one important point is that the name of the property, for those of us in the trade, is Mondavi Oakville, because it's different from some of the other Mondavi-named products that are out there that have a California appellation. This is Napa Valley, and this is really where the Napa Valley really shines. And that's where individual wines come out that really represent world-class quality.
With all due respect to Megan, and let me ask both of you, who makes better Chardonnay, Sonoma or Napa?
I think it's a degrees of style. Russian River Valley can make a certain style of wine that Napa will never make it. If they tried it, they could never do it.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of it is Carneros is warming, and we have a trend that is challenging at this point, and some of the best vineyards are still in Carneros, but you have to really be careful. You have to know exactly which vineyard to pick from. If you get a good vineyard, Carneros can still produce fabulous Chardonnay, but it's going to be a little bit more difficult to do so, and there'll be less of it.
And again, the manipulation. You're picking at a lower sugar because it's 13.5 alcohol, so this didn't come in at 15,
no,
you know, degrees Brix. It came in, you know, somewhere way you know,
lower.
I mean, 20, yeah. 23 and a half.
Oh, higher.
We usually aim for 20.
But I think the
23.
The best part about wines like this is that they're structured to go with food. And very few, I like, 20 years ago, a lot of Chardonnay was a caricature of itself. Today, we're now starting to see quality Chardonnays. Now, the problem is that people, for some reason, think that they can buy for $12, they can buy a wine that tastes like this. You can't do it.
You
can't be done.
Absolutely not.
I've tried.
You can't. You know. There's the difference is like in the $0 to $15, $20. When you get 25, 30, 40, when you get up in there, that's where the nuances are. And a wine like this.
And it's not about extraction, and it's not about explosion. It's about delicacy.
And too much manipulation with all these new chemicals. You can take a wine apart into all 800 compounds and say, okay, I need a little more of this and I need a little more of that. You can't do that to make a magnificent wine.
And so to answer your question more directly, Steve, there are people who understand Carneros and can make great Chardonnay out of Carneros. There are people who, if they were moved over to Sonoma County, they'd be shocked at the quality of the fruit that's here. But they might take two or three vintages before they could figure out how to make that wine. But they finally get there.
Yeah.
It does take some time, for sure, once you work with a site to figure it out and what you have to do with it.
All right. California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn. Tom Simoneau is back with us presenting Mondavi, my co-host, Dan Berger. By the way, next Wednesday, Bottle Barn is doing a big, what is it, a Pinot?
Pinot Fest.
A Pinot Fest at
Hyatt, Hyatt in downtown.
In downtown Santa Rosa.
And it's unfortunately sold out already. So
it is sold out. But I do want to tell you that we'll be broadcasting California Wine Country live with Dan Berger and myself and a whole bunch of Pinot makers and Pinot people.
And we're starting at 4:30 instead of 5.
That's right. It's going to be 90 minutes. Beginning at 4:30, we'll be doing California Wine Country live from the Hyatt with Bottle Barn and all the huge Pinot people. I like that, the Pinot people. It is sold out, if you don't have tickets.
If you sign up at Bottle Barn to be an insider, you'll be on the ground floor for the next tasting that they're going to do.
Oh,
I don't
even
know what they're going to do. But
yeah, who knows? But yeah, go to bottlebarn.com. We'll be live 4:30 to 6 next Wednesday from the Hyatt. That's going to be fun. I think it's 300-400 people, and it's sold out.
And more Pinot Noir than you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. I'm going to bring a bottle of Chard.
Probably this one?
Yeah, probably that one. The Mondavi. Megan Schofield is one of the winemakers for Robert Mondavi Winery over in Napa. And where are we going, Tom?
The 50th anniversary Robert Mondavi Winery Reserve, Tokalon Vineyard, 2013, Oakville, Napa Valley, Cabernet Sauvignon.
Say that without taking a breath.
Yeah, I know. Cabernet Sauvignon, the king. I love Cabernet. As much as you love Chardonnay,
yeah, I know.
I love Cabernet.
I'm not a huge cab guy.
I know you're not. That's okay.
I used to be.
There's enough of me to take over for what you're lacking.
All right. So, Tom is swirling. Give me your thoughts on the nose and then the taste. And
it's screaming Cabernet. I mean, it's just... Again, the nice thing about what you guys do, the fruit is there. I mean, as a grape grower, you're in your vineyard all year long trying to make sure that the flavor and the aroma of the grapes are there. And I hate it when it's clobbered with oak or volatile acidity sometimes. I mean, it's craziness. This is like... Oh, it's currant, and it's a little bit of mocha there, some black cherry, some blackberry, and it's wrapped with oak. I mean, there's that little around the back of your nose, and that's just in the nose, and when you put it in your mouth.
It needs about 10 more years.
Well, of course it does, Dan.
It's not overly tannic. I mean, it's got a little fur there in the finish. You've got it.
Yeah, I get the fur and the finish thing.
Yeah.
I couldn't describe that, but okay,
it's
that's
fur and
the tannin.
Finish. Yeah. And that's the tannin. It should have some tannin.
It's Tokalon, and Tokalon has, I mean, it's known for its power and its tannin for sure. And 13 in particular was a year where we were now into like the third or fourth year of the drought. And it was just those kinds of tannins that year were just a different thing. And so you can really feel that in the 13. But I think that one is going to go long. I think that's going to age.
But what's
for decades.
The alcohol, Megan?
It's 15.
Yeah, this one's 15.
Okay, I'm putting mine down. I tasted. That's enough. Wow. Dan?
Well, Napa Valley has produced some pretty intense Cabernets over the last 20 years or so, starting, I guess, from, if you calculate from 94, 97, the two vintages that taught winemakers how not to make wine. All right, that's another story. But starting with 98, and we started having, there's another evolutionary process. This is a good example of that, getting back to some of the basics with the real, as Tom pointed out, some nice varietal notes. The oak is still prominent because the wine is so young. I think as time goes by, this wine needs, if you were to drink it now, you'd want to put it in a decanter for
Absolutely.
About, you know, 3 days or something.
You could. You really could. You know, people don't realize that reds and whites both do well with decanting, you know.
You wouldn't put it in a decanter in the fridge. You would leave it out?
I think I would leave it out. This one, this is very young. It's not going to lose anything. If you decanted it for about 6 hours, I think that's where your best bet is right now. Now, this is a really young wine. It's like 4 years old. This wine is already released. But 20 years ago, this would still have been in the winery. This would still not even be released yet.
Really?
Yeah, because 20 years ago, we held on to them for 4.5 years. So this wine's been out for, what, a year, half a year?
This was released last August.
Yeah, so it's already out a full year out. Yeah. And it's still a baby, and it needs a lot of time.
I guess, Tom, you mentioned the furriness on the finish.
Mm-hmm,
I could never describe what that is, but that
that's
is,
tannin. And that's a little bit of oak tannin there, too, isn't it?
It's furry. Sure,
this is 100% new oak.
It's like
100%
what happens
new oak.
When which, you take the artichoke, I mean, and you eat the whole thing with it.
Yeah, yeah, which I do all the time.
So you're definitely getting some wood tannin, and we do try to balance it. I mean, we're selecting Coopers again that complement Tokalon. But a lot of it is from the vineyard,
wow,
for sure, and our cab management.
How about a contrast in that Beaujolais that I brought? Because there's no tannin in the Beaujolais.
Wow. This baby, though, this is begging for a rib steak.
The Beaujolais?
No, the
cab.
Cabernet.
Dan, talk about the Beaujolais.
This is George Deboeuf's Beaujolais Village. Sells for $13. Not exactly.
Really?
Yeah, it's an inexpensive bottle of wine, but here's a wine that you can drink immediately. You don't have to. This is a wine you do not have to lay down, Steve.
Wow.
It's juicy.
Everybody hear that? Dan is not going to lay this down. This is the first wine ever.
This is quaffing wine. This is just drink it.
And Beaujolais.
Made from Gamay Noir à Jus Blanc. It's a grape variety that is grown in California by very few people. There's a little bit of this is being grown in Oregon. But and also in Michigan, believe it or not, they have a
my home state.
Yeah, great.
Really?
Yeah, they grow this grape in Michigan. They do a beautiful job with it. Shout out Grand Travers makes a fabulous one.
But this is French.
This
obviously.
Is French. It's Beaujolais Village.
It's Deboeuf.
It's just George Deboeuf is probably the most famous of all of the Beaujolais producers. It just came out. Just
it's
been
delicious.
Released about 2 weeks
juicy.
Ago.
Juicy?
Yeah, juicy, simple.
Serve it with a slight chill.
No, I don't like it.
No aftertaste.
You don't like it?
Okay. Yeah. it's quaffing wine.
I've said this before, and I get grief from all of you when I say this, but I get this bubble gum thing going.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be. I'm sorry to say, but that's what it is.
That's it.
No.
That is it.
No, don't like it.
That's the signature.
Hello, Megan Mondavi.
Okay, Jackson says no. It's gone. He's the host.
It's out of here. What's the next one?
Here,
I'll go through the peanut.
My dump bucket. I gave you my dump bucket. It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Tom Simoneau is back with us, presenting Mondavi. And Megan Schofield, one of the winemakers at Mondavi in Napa, is with us. And, of course, my co-host, Dan Berger. I do want to, again, remind you, it's sold out. next Wednesday, but we will be broadcasting live with an extra half hour from 4:30 to 6, California Wine Country, from the Hyatt in downtown Santa Rosa with Bottle Barn. They're doing a big Pinot-thon. I mean, a Pinot Noir. No, what are they doing?
Yeah, Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir-thon. Yeah,
thon. Okay.
And we'll be talking to everyone.
No more Chardonnay for you, Jackson.
Yeah, no, no, no. That's why. Well, no. When she said that was 15% alcohol, I said, I'm putting that down. But it was too late, I think.
Yeah, you were putting it down.
No.
Define that.
Okay, what are you people drinking? Because I'm done.
We've got the Robert Mondavi Winery Reserve 2015 Caneros Pinot Noir from two different vineyards.
Yep,
right?
This is again from a Hyde vineyard, right on King
I feel Carina. Like a Hyde vineyard right now after that 15%.
And then we get, and the Hyde fruit is really, I mean, it's really, it's not, it, oh God, what is it? It's expressive and it's bright and it's cherry and it's lots of red fruit. Go across the street down on Cuttings Wharf Road. There's an old vineyard. It's dry farmed, planted in the 80s, called Rancho Carneros. And those two vineyards make up this wine. So you've got some like really exotic red high tone fruit, and then this like dark, dry farmed intense Pinot Noir.
Yeah, the color is beautiful, Dan.
Yeah, it's a 15, and again, a very young wine. If you want to drink this now, I would definitely decant this, because the aromatics are being held back by the youthfulness of it. It's got wonderful acidity. That's the secret to this wine, is its acid level is wonderful.
We have 1 minute. Megan Schofield, one of the three winemakers at Robert Mondavi Winery. Next week, Dan and Mike and I and a whole bunch of people who produce and make and sell.
And Barry Herbst.
And Barry Herbst. Pinot Noir will be at the Hyatt Regency. Tom Simino, the original California wine guy, thank you so much. Are you going to whip by the Hyatt next week?
What's next? Well, if we're not picking, we'll see. We're getting pretty close.
Yeah, harvest.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you, and we'll see you in September, right?
Yep.
Right, Megan. A pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Dan, we'll see you next Wednesday at the
Hyatt. I'm looking forward to it.
And we're going to be going a little early, 4:30 to 6. It's a 90-minute California Wine Country next week with Bottle Barn at the Hyatt.